Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton. Today's episode is number 45, Saturday Scrawl number 5, Insect Plague. After our call-in, I want to talk about a spell many players may not have encountered in play. Our call-in today is from Ray Otis of the Plundergrounds podcast. He liked my last episode on alliteration as inspiration. Take it away, Ray.
Larry, this is Ray Otis. I really enjoyed your episode on alliteration as a creative device. We must think along similar lines because I had a challenge in my Plundergrounds zine an issue or two back called Alpha Worlds, where I asked people to generate paragraph-long settings using creatures that all started with the same letter. And we played it through on Google Plus and, you know, got from A to Z on there, and it was pretty cool. It's sort of similar but not the same as what you're doing. I'm going to read you one of them that was submitted by Rob Bull, called O World. Orcus has overtaken the prime material plane and rules it with an army of Oni warlords and their Orog foot soldiers. A resistance has been spawned among the surface orc tribes who know how to fight their cousins from the depths of the earth. Most orcs, though, live peaceful lives away from cities, raising ostriches and oxen. Recently, the resistance has managed to recruit a small number of ogres who train owlbears as war beasts. I thought you might enjoy that. Good episode. Keep it up.
Thanks, Ray. That's an interesting idea. One could try building an adventure where all the people's names start with O, the locations, the monsters, the treasure, etc. all start with O, or at least a plot hook. How's this? Ophelia of Omdahl seeks the return of her opals from the orcs. So now on to the episode. Insect Plague is quite the spell in 1st edition D&D. And I want to talk about something on the next Tuesday Tales that involves being on both the receiving and the giving end of the spell Insect Plague, and I thought it would be helpful to know more about it. And by covering the details of the spell on this episode, it'll make the Tuesday Tales episode shorter. So spells are just like encountering monsters you've never encountered as a player or ran as GM. There are tons of creatures I've never encountered in play, and it's really exciting when I finally do. And I don't have all the stuff as well memorized as I did back in the day. So stuff sounds familiar, but I can't decide if things are what I think they are. And then I can't recall the best way to beat those things, especially the really nasty creatures. And with spells finally reaching a level to do something new, or putting to use a spell that the GM allows in play that they don't quite realize what creative use of it can do, that is really fun. It's also fun to reach a level where you can throw multiple spells of a given level and do fun things. For me, in 1st edition, that starts at 6th level as a magic user, where you've got 2 3rd level spell slots. And then at 7th level, you get into 4th level spells. I've not run a wizard with higher than 5th level spells in 1E, so I haven't had that experience of play. But up to that point, I've got a really good grasp of how to put things to use. Because things change with the different editions, the tactics also have to change because the effectiveness and utility of a spell changes from one edition to another. While preparing this episode, I was inspired to do a bit of research and looked at the 1st edition spell and compared it to the 5th edition spell. But that wasn't good enough, so I looked at all the various rules for which I have a physical book. Now, I'm sure I've got many other rules on my computer in PDF, but I wanted to keep this under control. Insect Plague in 1st edition, and many other editions, is a battlefield spell. It's great for obscuring actions, filling a gap, eliminating low-level units, and things of that nature. It is great on both the field of battle and in a siege, and because of its utility in battle, I figured it had to have been something that originated in chainmail. Now, I did check a PDF of my chainmail from one bookshelf, and there's no spell for that, so I was a little bit surprised by that. Insect Plague first appears in the original D&D in Men and Magic on page 33. Unlike the 1st edition spell, it is mobile, so the caster can direct it around the field of battle within the spell range, and it lasts a full day. Now, it's not as large an area of effect. Its 2 effects are obscuring vision and routing creatures of less than 3 hit dice. And there's a special note that it only works above ground. and the range is 48 inches, which would be 480 yards outdoors. Now turning to first edition, the duration is much shorter, one turn per level, and a turn is 10 minutes, and it requires a cleric of at least 9th level, or a druid of at least 9th level, because the druid spell is also 5th level. So that means the shortest duration for that spell is 1.5 hours. So the range is 36 inches, and it's 6 inches high. Well, in first edition, you have to translate inches. Indoors, an inch is feet, and outdoors, an inch is yards. It doesn't really say you can't use it indoors, or unless I missed that part in first edition. But the range outside would be 360 yards. And then it would be 6 inches high. That's 180 yards, which is half that distance. So imagine a sphere, 180 yards in diameter. Huge. And there's no saving throw. And the damage is 1 hit point per round while you're within the area of effect. And it's very possible to get lost and take the long way out. So a low-level creature that gets routed and runs the wrong way could die before they get out. And then every creature less than 5 hit die has to make a morale check. And the 2 hit die and less, well, that's again less than 3 hit die, are automatically routed. And they have to move away at the fastest possible speed in a straight line in a random direction until they're at least 24 inches away, or 240 yards. And the same thing happens to those less than 5 hit die that fail the morale check. So it has that strong morale-breaking component, but it also does damage. So it's even greater control besides just obscuring it, but you can't move it. It says smoke and a fire will keep insects out of an area, but things like fireball, lightning bolt, and cone of cold only make a temporary gap that is soon filled. Now, a wall of fire would keep them out, but you can't cast a spell while you're taking damage in first edition. Now, it can be dispelled by dispel magic cast on the summoning point. The range of the insect plague for the 5th level druid spell in first edition is 4 inches shorter than it is for the cleric spell, while the duration and everything else is the same. So the dispel magic ranges are 6 inches for cleric dispel magic, 8 inches for the druid version of dispel magic, and 12 inches for the magic user version of dispel magic. And if you're a magic user or a druid, you've got enough range, you can throw it without having to get into the insects themselves. Well, I guess a cleric could do it if they were right nose face in for the insect plague. And of course, while trying to make this episode, I did the classic mistake I always make. It lists in first edition the range in inches, which there's indoor range and outdoor range, feet versus yards, and it lists the area of effect in inches. However, the area of effect is always feet. So in doing my math, I was trying to convert the area of effect of the insect plague to yards, which 360 yards is over 1,000 feet. That's huge. While that would be great if that was on your side of things, that's just not consistent with the rest of the rules. And of course, the cleric would not have to come into contact with the edge of the insect plague to have range, because I forgot to factor into my calculation the area of effect of dispel magic, which is 30 feet diameter, which would give 15 feet from the casting to the central point of the insect plague, which would be 5 yards. So the cleric would not have to come in contact with the insect plague and risk spoiling a spell, while the other casters could still be quite a bit further away. Anyway, that was the headache of trying to figure out the simple answer that yes, a dispel magic can be cast without having to enter the insect plague, except for the... What surprised me about 5th edition is the spell is no longer a battlefield spell, because it only affects a small area. There's no morale effect, but the damage is huge, so it's good. It's basically like a fireball in its damage. The range is 300 feet, and it only lasts up to 10 minutes if you maintain concentration. And it's a 20-foot radius sphere, or 40 feet in diameter. And the damage is 4d10, save for half. It lightly obscures the area and is considered difficult terrain. Damage and save is required when you enter the area of effect or you end your movement within it. And if you cast it at a higher level spell slot, each slot above 5th level adds another d10 of damage. So that could be 8d10 damage if you cast that as a 9th level spell. And I guess I didn't really pay that close of attention looking at the player's handbook for 5th edition, but the components for 1st edition and 5th edition are the same. Verbal, somatic, and material. The material components of the spell are a few grains of sugar, some kernels of grain, and a smear of fat. So there's a lot of reference back to 1st edition. Not having played 2nd edition, 3rd edition, or 4th edition, I don't know what those look like, and not having those books, I didn't look it up. Next, I looked at Swords and Wizardry Complete, and it is closer to the original D&D spell. It's got a straight range listed as 480 feet, a duration of 1 day, the mention that it only works outdoors, the caster can direct it where they want, it'll cover 400 square feet, 20 feet by 20 feet, and any creature of 2 or fewer hit die is exposed to the cowed, they flee in terror. I checked Osric, which of course holds closer to the 1st edition, except Osric translated the range of all spells that are listed in inches in 1st edition to feet across the board, instead of using feet for indoors and yards for outdoors. Delving deeper, adheres to original Dungeons & Dragons, but adds a note that misuse of the spell will make the cleric an anti-cleric. That's interesting. I really like the twist that DCC, Dungeon Crawl Classics, puts on it. In Dungeon Crawl Classics, it's a 4th level spell, and they call it Vermin Blight, and it has a note that you have to refer to a page in the creature section on insect swarms. And just like all spells in DCC, the better you roll on your casting check, the more awesome it is. The base success is one swarm that attracts any creature, but it doesn't move. Better rolls get multiple swarms that don't affect your allies. Then the ability to direct the swarms, and the maximum effect is described as like a biblical locust plague that persists for a week and will devastate a region or country. And the swarm itself is 20 by 20, like original edition. And the last physical rulebook I had was Astonishing Swordsmen and Sorcerers of Hyperborea. It's very similar to original D&D, but it makes it stationary and 60 feet in diameter and 30 feet high. Well, I take that back. One of the players from our recently ended Wednesday night game backed the Castles and Crusade reprint Kickstarter last year and sent us all a player's handbook. An insect plague in that is very close to a 1st edition. My experience with insect plague is in 1st edition, and as you can tell by the dimensions of that, that is quite devastating. I would encourage you, if you've not run into certain spells in play, to expose your players to those if you're a game master, and if you're a player, try to get a hold of those spells if you can. And for clerics and druids, it's easy. You've got a list and you can just choose whatever spell you want and learn it. But for a magic user, it's a little more challenging. But if you have mid to high level play where you can get up into 5th and higher level spells, you can really get into some interesting challenges there. The problem with insect plague is it takes a full turn or 10 minutes to cast it in 1st edition. So you have to keep the bad guys off of you long enough to cast it. But if you manage to get it off, it'll wreak havoc on your enemies. And if you put that on a couple of scrolls or put it in a wand or a staff of all things, my goodness, you've already done the one round of casting, so you're just spitting it out of your storage device, and there you go. I can't imagine having something like that. That would be artifact level to have 5th level spells like that. Thank goodness they're not too common unless you've got a really out-of-control high magic campaign or lots of crazy things that your dungeon masters put around for you to find. We'll be to the 1st level party that finds something like that and initiates a spell for a insect plague, and they're stuck in the middle. They may not live long enough to exit. There's all kinds of cool spells that I've never seen used in-game before. It's really fun to use a spell in a way that the other players don't expect. I mentioned that a little bit about my magic user character in the Sunday game taking revenge for the loss of his henchmen. I've got lots of other interesting little stories about creative use of spells. so I didn't talk too much about the creative use of this spell, other than it was useful on the battlefield. But I'll be talking about other spells down the line and creative uses for those. And I'd just be interested to hear some of your stories about encountering insect plague and other powerful spells and how that turned the tide of battle. Thanks for listening, and game on. And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all of my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to Multiverse.World by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is important. Consider backing me on my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on One Bookshelf. You can check out my growing list of PDFs at either DriveThruRPG or RPG Now. And if you like what you see, please let me know. And if there's something that doesn't quite suit you, please let me know. Constructive criticism is very important for those of us who publish our own PDFs. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo, the same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening, and game on!